grace be unto you, and peace from God our Father, and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Now the text upon which I want to address you is written in the book of the prophet Isaiah. In chapter 45, we read, beginning at verse 18, a few words, "For thus saith the Lord." And now we go down to 21. "Have not I, the Lord, told these things? Then there is no God else beside me, a just God and a Savior. There is none beside me. Look unto me, and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God, and there is none other. I have sworn by myself, the word is gone out of my mouth in righteousness, and it shall not return, that unto me every knee shall bow, every tongue shall swear. Truly shall one say, in the Lord have I righteousness and strength, and even all that are incensed him shall be ashamed." So far the reading of the text. Now, dear fellow redeemed, before I forget, I want to begin my sermon. Let me just read also the words of Isaiah 43, where we read, "You are my witnesses, saith the Lord, and my servant whom I've chosen, that you may know and believe me, and understand that I am he. Before me there was no God formed, neither shall there be after me. I, even I, am the Lord, and beside me there is no Savior." I read this just with one fortifies the other. Now, in October 24th, I was in Waseca, Minnesota, visiting with my daughter-in-law and my son-in-law and at the parsonage. And as I was standing at the door, all of a sudden the street was just filled with people. And they were going two by two to the homes, some four by four. And four people came to me. And I was standing at the door. I said, "Well, what is it you wish?" They said, "We are Jehovah's Witnesses." And then, of course, as soon as they said it, I said, "No, you're not." And then, of course, I used the word Jehovah with them because that's the word they use to express the name of that God whom we may for more call Yahweh. Well, anyway, I said, "If you were Jehovah's Witnesses, you'd believe what Jehovah says. You don't. You ought to read Isaiah. He says, I am Jehovah, and beside me there is no Savior. And you don't believe that Jesus is the..." "Oh, we believe in Jesus. He saved us." "Oh, no, you don't. Because if he isn't Jehovah, he couldn't save us. Because Jehovah says, beside me there is no Savior. And you say he was a little God, formed by God, a later creation. But Jehovah says, before me there was no God formed, nor after me. I am God. And beside me there is no Savior. So you don't have a Savior. And if you don't..." "We believe," I said. "And I'm going to use their term, that Jehovah is the Father, and Jehovah is the Son, and Jehovah is the Holy Spirit. And thus they are one Jehovah. And if you don't believe that, you will not be saved, because Jehovah the Son says, he that denies me before men, him will I deny before my Father in heaven." And I said, "I'd like you to come in the house. I want to show you that from the Old Testament." And they walked away. And I said, "You won't be saved that way." So I went away. We went home. Now I want to tell you a little bit what I would have liked to have told them if I got them into the home. I would have, of course, read these texts. I would have read these texts to them. And then I would have said to them, "Remember, here, this God is speaking to us." And I would have shown them these cards. I had them there at the home with me. And I said, I would have shown them this, Yah-ha-ha-ha, the Hebrew consonants. And so the Jewish people didn't pronounce it, so we would just say, Yah-ha-ha-ha. Or some say, Yahweh. Oh, this Jehovah Elohim, he is the God who speaks in Scripture, Yahweh Elohim. And by Yahweh, Moses writes, or the Holy Spirit speaks through Moses and says, God created heaven and earth and man. And that Yahweh spoke to the people of that time and promised the Messiah out of those seeds, descendant of Abram, Isaac, and Jacob, and repeated it in him shall all the nations, this seed, the descendant, shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. And now we come down through the time, as time develops, to the time of Moses, who wrote it. And then Jeremiah, about 750 A.D. And here's our text. And you know that text of Jeremiah is exactly what those who are founded this seminary, our forefathers of a previous age, taught when they said, grace alone, faith alone, scripture alone. As some would like to say, Jesus alone, faith alone, scripture alone. It doesn't make any difference, because if you say grace alone, you mean that unloving kindness of God which he bears us undeserved human beings on account of Jesus Christ and him alone. So it is to say the same thing. They taught what this text says. Beside Yahweh, there is no Savior. And therefore you must believe in Christ alone, because he is that Yahweh, Yahweh. And now, we again say, beside him being no Savior, what else can you do with such a Savior? You can't deserve him. You can't earn him. You can only accept what he says. Embrace the Son, says the psalmist, lest you be angry. We accept him. For blessed are they that put their trust in him, and only in him, because beside him there is no Savior. Our fathers taught that emphatically. And then they taught that you get this out of Scripture alone, not from man's reason or philosophy or the wisdom of the ages. For his ways, as was read, are not our ways. His ways are higher than ours. And so we go to his ways in his word and trust it above all things as God's word. Trustworthy, infallible, believable, inerrant as God is such. And this means, therefore, they taught us this. So when I ended that, I wanted to let them know that faith. Of course, I couldn't get them to hear it. Now, let's go on and follow that through a little bit. The Jehovah who spoke to Jeremiah, the Yahweh who spoke to Jeremiah, he also spoke about 80 years later, through Isaiah, spoke about 80 years later through Jeremiah. And now listen to the words of Jeremiah. He speaks of the Mashiach, the Messiah to come. And this Messiah is to come out of the house of David. Well, they all knew that. That was common understanding. But he says, behold, the days come, saith, and again this God, Yahweh, that I will raise unto David a righteous branch. You see, once you determine that only Yahweh saves, you've got to be able to demonstrate clearly that Jesus is Yahweh. But that's the Messiah. He is that Messiah. And so here we have it. The branch, there shall be a righteous branch from the house of David. And a king shall reign and prosper. In his days Judah shall be saved, and Israel shall dwell safely. Now listen, this is the name whereby he shall be called Yahweh, Yahweh, Tzidkenu, our, the new, our righteousness. Yahweh, our righteousness. That's his name. And now the Messiah is to be Yahweh himself. Not as so. Was Christ that? We come to the days of beginning of the Christian era. And here was that priest Zacharias in the holies of the temple offering incense before that great altar that separated the Holy of Holies from the holies, and before that huge curtain on which were embroidered angels. And suddenly a real angel there, the angel of this God, Yahweh. And the angel of Jehovah calls himself Gabriel, and he says, you're going to have a son, and you're going to call his name Yohanan. And when he doubted, he said, and you're going to be unable to speak because you doubt it. And now this same priest goes out, can't pronounce the benediction, of course, And for 9 months he has to live among his people, and they all know he can't speak. Our pastor, our priest can't speak. And then comes the time of his son. A son is born. Now, the eighth day, they're going to name him. What are they going to name him? They're going to... The friends said, Zechariah, after the father. The mother said, no, Yohanan. Oh, John, but there's nobody in the relationship by that name. Then point to the father. What about it? You remember he wrote on the scroll, his name is Yohanan, John. When Jehovah is gracious. And the moment he wrote it, his tongue was loosed, his mouth was opened, and he could speak. And he spoke those blessed words, blessed be the Jehovah, Yahweh, the God of Israel, for he has visited and redeemed his people. And he spoke of that little baby, 8 days old. And you, child, and alluding to Isaiah 40, you shall go forth as the prophet of the highest to prepare the way for the coming of, and he uses Kyrios, which was the word they used for this word in that time. He says, however, he spoke Hebrew, and he would have said, he is goes before the face of Yahweh. Yahweh. Now, that's that part of it. Now, at the same time, not months before, not more than a few months before, that same angel of Yahweh came and appeared to Mary and Joseph and told him, you're going to have a child. You're going to call his name? Now, this is, he gives him a name. He didn't speak English. He didn't say Jesus. He said, Yehoshua. And Yahweh comes from the first part of this, from that word, Yahweh. Yehoshua, Yahweh, the deliverer. Yahweh, the savior. You call him that. To Joseph, he added, for he shall save his people from their sins. And only Yahweh can do that. But he is Yahweh who can do it. Now, there we have the birth of Christ, birth of John. Now comes John the Baptist. 30 years go by, and there he is in the wilderness preaching. Josephus tells us he reached hundreds of thousands. Well, he preached repentance and remission of sins. But when they ask him, who are you? Are you the Christ, the Messiah? Are you that prophet? No. Who are you? I am the voice. And then he alludes to Isaiah 40, of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way for Yahweh. Yahweh. And then he pointed to Jesus as he saw him go by. Behold the Lamb of God. All of that included of Isaiah and the sacrifices and all that was said concerning Mashiach. Behold the Lamb of God that is in the act of taking away the sins of the world. This is he of whom I said he shall be, was before me, will come after me, but was before me. This he said. So he confessed Jesus was that Mashiach, and he was Yahweh come in the flesh, and he was Yahweh Tzidkenu, our righteousness. Now, time moves on, and you know there have been pastors who say Jesus never said he was really God. He called himself Son of God. He called himself, and we're all the children of God. You've heard arguments, but there was one who especially said he never really said, I am God. I want to tell you he did. Let's go back to the days of Moses. You remember when Moses was to deliver the children of Israel out of Egypt? And he was there in the wilderness of Sinai. And he saw the burning bush. And out of the burning bush came the voice of again, this God. Yahweh. And he said, as he spoke, you are to go and deliver my people. And as he heard that word, Moses finally said, well, he had been gone for 40 years, some and more. And he said, what name is your name? And what name shall I tell them sent me? Then he says, tell them. And then he said, and of course he didn't speak English. He spoke the language of the people. And tell them, Asher, I sent you. And then he added once more, tell him I sent you. And of course we all know I means I am. But we also know that this word comes from the word Yahweh and means to be. And it has, therefore would signify, this means the one who is. The eternal one. And I would be his first person singular. I am. Tell him I am sent you. And it was the same as he could have said, tell him this, Yahweh sent you. But he said, in first person singular, tell him I am sent you. And now we come to Jesus. And here he is speaking to the Jews in John 8. You believe in me, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And then when they... And the truth shall make you free, he said. And then when the Jews said to him, well, those who didn't believe in him, why, we've never been in bondage. They were the grandchildren of those who had been in bondage in Egypt, and we never were. We're the children of Abraham. But Jesus said, but you're the slaves of sin, and when you're the slaves of sin, you're not free. But if the Son will make you free, you'll be free indeed. And then they argued with him, we're Abraham's children. And of course, you know, the continued quite a ways until Jesus finally said, why do you want to kill me? Abram rejoiced in my day. Why, Abram's dead and the father's. Whom do you make yourself? And then he said, before Abram was, they said to him, you're not even 50 years old. And you've seen Abram? But Abram, before Abram was, he said this word. He said, I... He didn't speak English, he spoke the Lear language, and he would say, I, the very name that they had learned, God had spoken out of the burning bush, before Abram was, I am. And then they wanted to stone him. And because he disappeared, they tried some days later, and when he said, for what good work do you want to stone me? Many good works I did among you, not for a good work, but because you being a man, make yourself God. So if anybody says Jesus never, because he called himself Yahweh, or Jehovah, or Yahweh, or Yahweh. He said it when he used the first person singular of that word, I am. Now, therefore, if he is Jehovah, then he is Yahweh Tzedekenu, Jehovah, our righteousness. And now we have to say, that's what Christ preached, too. Let's listen to him once as he preached in the Sermon on the Mount. If ever a sermon preached law and gospel, that was. I remember professors arguing about that, some saying it's all law, Sermon on the Mount is all gospel. I say it's all law and all gospel, because if ever Christ preached the law, look how he preached it. When he said, the law must be fulfilled, every jot and tittle of it, the smallest letter of the Hebrew alphabet, the yot, the smallest hook on one of these letters, the tittle, must be fulfilled. Then he explained what he meant, how it must be fulfilled. That means, as he defined the law, you have heard it was said, thou shalt not kill. But I say, and whosoever kills shall be in danger of the judgment. But I say unto you, whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause is in the danger of the judgment. And whosoever says to his brother, Reka, dumbbell, fool, he is in danger of the council. And whosoever says, thou fool, and cuts him down to mount to nothing, is in danger of hellfire. Ah, but who doesn't lose his temper occasionally? Where doesn't it happen in the family? Husband and wife, children and parents. We're in the classroom, pastor, teacher, and students. And where doesn't it happen in the world? Anger without justice. And who is able to keep from cutting people down by name-calling? Who isn't guilty? We hear it even when among clergy when they meet and cut one another down. We hear it among students. We hear it all the time. And who isn't guilty of making people feel utterly worthless in their eyes? Ah, that's the law. That must be fulfilled. It has been said, you shall not commit adultery. But I say, whosoever looketh at a woman with lust has already committed adultery in his heart. Ah, and who can refrain from that perfectly? And then he tells, let your yea be yea. No oath necessary. Just be honest. But is our yea always yea, even to our children? Are we always truthful when we say nay? Is it always so? And then listen to him again. You've heard it was said, you shall love your neighbor, but hate your enemy. I say unto you, love your enemies. Bless them who curse you. Do good to them who hate you. Pray for them who despitefully use you. Then he adds a word, be as perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect. For he lets his rain shine on the just and the unjust. And who can be perfect as God except God himself? Oh, what a sermon of law he preached. And he said of it, it must be fulfilled. We can't do it. But yet he had told them, If you haven't got a better righteousness than that of the scribes and the Pharisees, you cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. And they can't have it. He showed they couldn't have it by themselves. But then he said something that should warm our hearts when he says, I came to fulfill the law. Or when he was baptized, I came to fulfill all righteousness. He was righteous for us. He could do it. And therefore we could have a righteousness better than that of pastors and teachers and the best scribes. Yes, we can have it. It's Christ's. Therefore, our fathers used to put it this way in that simple prayer hymn, Jesus, thy blood. That would refer to paying the penalty for sin. Your sacrifice, your blood and righteousness, the fulfilling of the law. My beauty are my glorious dress. Midst flaming worlds in these are arrayed with joy shall I lift up my head. Or as it is said, with these before my God I'll stand when I shall reach the heavenly land. That's what Walter loved, that hymn. And our fathers preached it and taught it. And that's the Christ we preach, our righteousness. And you know, he needs to be preached, taught in the classroom, in our homes, to our children, to the people of the world, for he was righteous for all mankind. For in him all the nations of the earth we blessed. And unless they get him, they will miss the blessing. And will be among those who denied the Lord who bought them. And now, dear friends, you know, no matter how long you are a pastor, how well you serve the Lord, there comes a time in your life when you'll appreciate that just this is true. Jesus is Yahweh Tzedekenu, our righteousness. My father served in the ministry 45 years, and when he was about 72, he had a stroke, and he finally had to retire from the ministry, but he was still able to speak, and now he was coming near his day when he would die. He was lying upon his bed, very ill, and I came to him, and I saw him lying there. I said, Pa, you look so sad. He had a deep frown on his forehead, and I said, you look so distressed. What's the matter? He said, oh, there's so many things I should have done and never. Pa, you know, you were a wonderful father. You raised all six of us children, three boys and three girls, and all of us believe in the Christ you taught us, and we're still seeking to serve him as you wanted would have us. And then I said, and I heard you at conferences. You were secretary of the Board of Education of the Northern Illinois District, and you always emphasized the need of preaching sin and grace, law and gospel. Need of righteousness, because our righteousness is our filthy rags, but Christ's righteousness to cover us. You preach that. And I heard you. And I saw you give communion to a man who had been very evil and yet was forgiven. And I said, whoa, beautiful. But a big frown stayed there. And I thought, why, I'm trying to comfort him with what his good works. And I thought, Pa, there was only one perfect minister that ever lived on the face of this earth, and that was Jesus Christ. And he takes his perfect ministry and puts it right over yours and counts you as perfect as his. For we're all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ, and you're covered with Christ. And the frown was gone. And there was a tear came down his side. And he reached out his hand and pressed mine. And he said, thank you, Ted. It's the only thing that counts. The only thing that counts. Thank God for that message. Thank God you have it too. Well, that's what our fathers taught us. That's what our founding fathers made precious to us. And today as you go to his holy supper and receive the bread and wine, you receive Christ's body and blood. And by that body and blood, he who is God himself and tells us to trust his word above all things, he gives us his body and blood, and with it, all he did in that blood, the sacrifice, meeting the curse of the law in our stead so that it's removed from all of us, meeting the requirements of the law by his righteousness, giving it to us. And may the giving of his law, body and blood to us seal to us the fact he is mine. He is Yahweh Tzedekenu, my God, my righteousness. In him I can live. And he even rewards my poor giving a drink of cold water. He even rewards my efforts that are so mixed with evil. And yet he forgives and rewards. What a Christ. May we go out eager to serve him, eager to preach him, eager to win men to confess him, and to teach him in our classes, to love him in our lives, all the days thereof. God grant it in Jesus' name. Amen. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding. Keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.